Ed from Beacon Pest Control. Now, for over 30 years, Beacon Pest Control has been providing residential and commercial pest solutions, family-owned and operated, and Ed is on the horn with us. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, good morning.
Okay, so it is pouring down rain right now, like buckets. I think it's leaking in the men's room right now. It's like dripping through, and just it's all chaos here.
That's yeah.
you know what's going on.
I do. Right now it's about 54 degrees and scattered clouds in central Kentucky, and as soon as today's radio show ends, we'll be pulling up the landing gear and heading back to Washington.
Nice. Now, you're traveling, but do bed bugs travel?
Well, they absolutely do, and this is the time of year when folks need to be careful. The most important thing you have to watch is your luggage, of course, because that's typically what the bed bugs get into that allow you to carry them home. We worry about hotels and motels because they get the most news. But the truth is that they don't treat taxi cabs, they don't treat aircraft very frequently for bed bugs. And when your luggage goes in with everybody else's luggage, then the exposure is possible. So the key when traveling is to when you get to your motel room, the one place that very, very seldom gets bed bugs in it unless there's a really obvious infestation is the bathroom, because the insects, of course, are attracted to those places that people frequent, like beds and couches and such. So if you stage your stuff in the bathroom and give the room itself a quick inspection, you can often detect if there's bed bugs in the room before you set up camp for the night. And what you want to do is take a look at the corners of the beds and check for signs of actual live bed bugs or their droppings, which are more commonly found. And those look very much like somebody took a black felt tip marker, just kind of dabbed it on the onto the fabric. And if you find markings like that on your mattress or on your sheets, then request another room. Most motels will comp you the night if that's discovered. But at any rate, you want to get another room. It doesn't mean the whole motel is infested or anything like that. So stage your stuff in the bathroom and do a quick inspection to make sure that you're not jumping into a problem. And then when you as you travel, when you return home, you take your clothing and launder it. Anything that goes through the dryer is going to be free of bed bugs, because the insects themselves can't take the heat. At about 115 degrees, they start dying, and I think at 117, they're like 5 minutes and they're done. So, just a quick trip through the dryer can make sure that you're not carrying them in your clothing. Luggage, on the other hand, you want to, I think Black Flag is making a product now that's, they call them no pest strips. Most of us that are my age can remember the Shell no pest strips, but apparently Black Flag has bought into the product. And so, you can place your luggage in a big black garbage bag and drop one of these pest strips in there, and it'll actually fumigate the luggage so that you don't have any bed bugs or eggs. The no pest strips will actually kill the eggs. When you put the luggage into a plastic bag with that, it's actually a fumigant, and it'll kill everything that's in there, so you're not tracking those things into your house.
Ew.
Yeah.
So do you know, do you know why bed bugs, you know, target our beds and not other things? Or do
they? Well, they're after us, and we tend to go to bed for 8 hours at a stretch, you know, some of us.
Okay.
So they're actually attracted to carbon dioxide and other, you know, other gases that human beings release. And so they'll wait till we're asleep. They actually have kind of an anesthetic in their saliva, so we don't feel it when we get bit. They've kind of evolved right along with us. You know, lots of evidence to show that they can bite us, and we don't actually react initially to the bite. So many times people will have a bed bug infestation and not realize it until they've had it for 6 or 8 months, and at that point then they start showing signs when they get bit. But you know, because we've kind of co-evolved, our bodies don't react to the insect in quite the same manner that we do, like, say, a mosquito. You know, you get a mosquito bite, you got itching and scratching in just a few minutes. But with bed bugs, quite often you get nothing.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey,
so
if you have any questions for Ed at Beacon Pest Control, you can call us at 360-533-5259. You can email or text message. That's johnny@jodesha.com. Sorry for interrupting you, Ed. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Well, there's a little latency with the with the phones, but
right.
So that's why they're attracted to us, and you know, like I say, we've kind of co-evolved, so they can get at us without us realizing that we have a problem initially, and then, you know, once they're in our homes, it's 6-8 months in before you realize you actually have a problem.
Hmm.
So the good news is that we have treatments for it. If you take the preventative steps, you're going to do a lot to avoid bringing them into your home to begin with. But if they do get loose, there's a couple of products that are in the marketplace now. They've only just recently come into popular use, and they're low impact, and we're able to actually kill the bed bug with something that they have no resistance to. So, and it's a fungus. It's a when they come in contact with it, the fungus eats them. When it comes to pest control, when you have to manage some of these things, sometimes you can't play fair.
It's about 19 minutes after 8. We have pouring down rain, the increased risk of landslides, and a flood watch in effect until, Thursday, early Thursday, like 4 a.m. is when that's supposed to stop. Right now we have Ed from Beacon Pest Control on the horn. If you have any pest questions, you can call us at 360-533-5259, email or text message. That's johnny@jodesha.com. So with all the rain that we have, with the flooding and blah, 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 are the rodents trying to find solace and solitude in my garage?
Well, certainly inclement weather will drive them into the house. They like to be warm, even though they've got fur coats on. They still like to stay out of the weather. They're kind of like us in that respect. So this is the time of year when we get the highest rate of rodent activity, at least from them coming into homes. And it's when people notice the pitter patter of little feet in the attic. This time of year, we want to make sure that our homes are buttoned up nice and tight. The crawl space is the typical point of entry. When the screens fail, or if you've got an access on the outside, if it's not tight enough to keep them from getting in, they will find their way. Occasionally we deal with animals that dig underneath the footings, but that's usually associated with some sort of a washout from downspouts or things of that nature. Or occasionally you'll get a mole that'll work his way along the foundation, and that provides the initial access for the rodents. But making sure that the doors and vents are secured is the first place to start. The other thing is make sure that your garage door seals are tight. Quite often garage doors will have these large rubber seals along the bottom. And if the door isn't closing all the way, then it may not compress that bottom seal far enough to keep the rodents from literally just chewing through it. And then they do things like get into our cars and our furnaces and things like that. So making sure that those things are in good repair, it does a lot to keep rodents out. The other thing is you just want to make sure that you don't have trees in contact with your home or within 5 feet. A rat can jump a good 5 feet from a tree branch onto the roof and back. So roofs are not really designed to keep out animals nearly as much as they are to keep out water. And rats can quite often chew through some of the rubber products that are used in roofing and make their way into the attic. So it's important to make sure you don't have tree branches and such that are close enough to the house to let them access the roof.
Talking about the hold on, we got a call here, but the sure. garage door thing at the bottom, are those replaceable if it's been chewed through?
Yes. Yes. Okay. You can replace the entire seal. There's different qualities of seals that go on the bottom, and sometimes the only thing that that you can do is take that seal off and adjust the door all the way down. It depends on whether or not there's any cracking in the concrete for the driveway as to whether or not the seal can be compressed far enough, because quite often driveways will crack and then you'll get a hump in the middle or, a rise on the edges, and the door won't shut properly. So making sure that that's kept in good repair goes a long way, and indeed those seals are replaceable. There's a number of different options.
Well, we had a call, but I lost the connection. But if you have a question for Ed at Beacon,
call back.
Yeah, 360-533-5259. Email or text johnny@jodesha.com. Do you want to stick with rodents, or I have a question for you of my own from
sure,
my mom.
Go ahead.
I was at her house the other day, and she had some gnats flying around, and she's like, where are these gnats coming from? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, do you have some, I don't know, rotten fruit or something laying around? Does she have, like, a dead apple in her walls or something?
Well, if they're actually gnats, then quite often that's related to our houseplants. This time of year, we're spending more time indoors. Sometimes we pay our plants a little too much attention with the watering can. The topsoil products, especially potting soil and such, it'll actually start to mold when there's too much water. Of course, it's nice and warm in the house this time of year. And so we have a little insect called a fungus gnat that will feed on the mold and fungus that grows in the topsoil when it's overwatered. So what we usually recommend is, be a little less generous with the water. I mean, certainly give the plants enough water, but make sure that the surface of the soil has an opportunity to dry out. One thing that can be done is the gravel that you use in fish tanks. If you put a layer of that on top of the potting soil, that can actually prevent the gnats from getting to the potting soil and the fungus in order to reproduce. So that can act as a barrier, but it's not completely solid, so it still allows the moisture to evaporate off the surface.
Okay. I will let her know.
Otherwise, if it turns out to be a fruit fly or something like that, well, then yeah, absolutely, you're looking for fruit. I think the worst fruit fly infestation I've encountered was actually a lost potato. it was in a plastic bag, and it had fallen down behind a drawer. And when it rotted, the flies found it, and yeah, there was one heck of a population going there by the time we tracked it down.
Well, I could see that happening, too, with Mom. So who knows?
Well, that can happen to the best of us. You know, things fall down behind cupboards all the time, and we have to do our detective work to track those things down.
Right. So where would you like to go now, Ed? We have about 3 minutes before our bottom of the hour break.
Well, we can start with moisture. Obviously it's quite wet out, and we want to be aware of moisture in our homes, because it's the origin of mildew and fungus, and sometimes is a clue that we have a larger problem in our home. So if a window's leaking, it's usually pretty obvious if you've got water that's puddling on the floor, you know, something like that. So most people won't ignore that, but there are other conditions that can develop in the house that are a little more cryptic and a little less obvious. It's kind of important for us to make sure that our door and window seals are intact, so that we're not getting water puddling around the doors, because of course we get plenty of rain that's backed by wind, and quite often a door without a storm door will leak. Putting a storm door on does a lot to move the moisture or the leakage away from the entry door itself. So that's one good way of making sure that the water gets moved away from the threshold of your entry, so that you're not rotting the floor out. The key there is, because it gets quite windy here in Washington, we want to be sure that those have good locks and seals on them. Otherwise, the wind will blow it open backwards, and then you wind up with a broken door.
So. All right. Well, it's 8:28, and if you have any questions for Ed from Beacon Pest Control, it's 360-533-5259. You can email or text message. That's johnny@jodesha.com. When you have pest problems, you can trust Beacon Pest Control to solve them for you. Maintaining your trust is their primary goal, and in order to do that, they're committed to providing you with the effective and reliable services you need. And if you have a pest control need, you can contact Beacon Pest Control, BeaconPestControl.com, or it's 1-800-300-2752.
Local news, local issues, local politics. It's Local Matters. Got something to say? Send us an email to johnny@jodesha.com. Here's Johnny Manson.
And if you have any pest questions for Ed from Beacon Pest Control, you can call us at 360-533-5259. You can email or text a message. It's johnny@jodesha.com. Ed, tell me about exhaust fans and window vents.
Okay. So in controlling moisture, one of the things that we want to do is make sure that the exhaust fans in our home are working correctly. And I know we've touched on this in the past, but most exhaust fans are coupled with vents that allow fresh air to come into our house. With the Super Good Sense codes, We tighten the house up so much that it needs to have fresh air brought in on a regular basis. So these exhaust fans, there's usually one, typically located in the laundry room or a hallway, and it's got a timer on it. Sometimes folks get tired of hearing the fan kick on at odd hours, or they forget how to set the timer. But these things need to kick on for a couple of hours, a couple of times a day, in order to draw fresh air in from outside. Now, they're usually coupled with an inlet vent, so that they can control how much air is coming into your home. And quite often we don't recognize them for what they are. A lot of windows are fitted with a vent from the factory, and it looks like a little grill over the top of one of the glass panels. They're usually installed in all the rooms in the house. Those vents can get clogged with dirt and crud and debris, and it should be cleaned out when they start getting debris building up in them. because that's the air that you're breathing. And if, you know, once again, if they're clogged, they're not letting enough air in to keep things like gases that occur in our homes. So things like carpeting that's gassing off, or flooring, or, you know, some of the different things, hairspray, perfume, you know, if those things aren't evacuated from the house, you end up breathing that. And so those vents are supposed to let that air in. Now, some of the vents that are installed in homes, you might not even recognize. I actually owned a home in Ocean Shores that had a PVC vent that was installed at each corner of the house. And this was a piece of 4-inch PVC that went out all the way through the wall and allowed air to be drawn in to the different rooms of the house. But unfortunately, the previous owner had gotten tired of the airflow that was coming through there, and he actually stuffed insulation in them, and so we weren't getting any ventilation through those, and had to clean that out. You know, apparently he didn't realize that was the fresh air that was supposed to pass into the house when the exhaust fans came on. So, you know, it's important to understand what kind of ventilation system you have in your home, because sadly, homes don't generally come with operator's manuals, and so you need to familiarize yourself with the different components that are in it in order to make sure that you're not defeating those systems that are keeping the moisture and mildew and fungus down.
Can birds' nests get in those areas, those
oh, yeah.
vents?
Yeah, so that's kind of a big problem. If you find that your vents, if you find out that your vents aren't evacuating the moisture, you know, if you take a shower and even though you're running the fan, the mirror is still fogged up, or you've got moisture on the walls, if, you know, they're slick with water, it could be that you've got a bird nest in one of your ducts, and if that's not cleaned out, then that can allow moisture to really build up inside of your home. There's a number of different companies that provide duct cleaning services around Grace Harbor, and you know, I recommend their services just because they've got all the tools to do it. You know, most of us don't have a brush that'll reach, you know, 20 feet into a house. So it's sometimes just easier to call somebody that's got the right equipment.
So you had a house in Ocean Shores, and the previous owner jammed those holes up, those vents up?
Yeah. He actually took pieces of fiberglass insulation and stuffed them with insulation and stopped the airflow coming through. You know, there were a number of other things. A lot of homes have exhaust fans that don't actually exhaust. Quite often we find that that there's an exhaust fan that's built into the microwave over the top of the stove, but it doesn't actually void to the exterior of the building. Some of these just ventilate, they don't ventilate. They just pick the air up that's coming off the top of the stove and blow it around the room. And that just allows moisture to build up, you know, from your cooking. You know, when you're boiling water for pasta or something like that, you're putting a lot of water in the air. And if that exhaust fan doesn't actually go to the exterior of your home, you're creating quite a moisture load for your house to handle. So, you know, getting that moved to the outside generally is going to take a contractor. One other thing to be aware of is that the exhaust for the dryer, you know, your dryer duct is supposed to carry that, you know, that the half gallon to a gallon of water out of your laundry to the exterior of your house. And lint does build up inside of ductwork, and depending on the kind of ductwork that was used to install your dryer, you may have particularly the corrugated stuff. That ductwork allows lint to stick to the inside of the duct, and if it's not cleaned out regularly, we've seen some with, you know, 1-inch layers of lint, and the ends of the vents completely clogged. So, you know, that's another one for your duct cleaning services, because they have the tools to reach up in there and pull that stuff out. Flexible ductwork is kind of the bane of dryers, because it'll tend to sag between mounting points, and things will accumulate in those low spots where it sags at, and they're almost impossible to clean from the outside. You quite often, and in order to solve the problem, you end up having to replace the ductwork.
When you come do an inspection, can you help find out some of this stuff for me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't typically come to the interior of your home, because you're living in there every day, so you generally can spot these things. But we do take a look at the exterior and the, things like downspouts and gutters, and make sure that they're draining properly. Inspect the crawl space to make sure that the ducts haven't collapsed, that they're still connected, and make sure that you don't have rodent or animal activity underneath of your house.
All right. So, does that cost extra or anything?
No, that's actually part of all of the general pest services that we perform.
Nice.
Yeah.
This deal keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, well, you get a written report with guidance on how to manage it.
All right. What else you got for me, man?
Well, kind of wanted to touch on the importance of inspections. It's probably a good time to go there. The pest control isn't just spraying. There's very little that you can treat for during the winter time. Outside of rodents and animals, because the there's no way to spray the exterior. You're not going to have spiders running around on the outside of the house in the dead of winter. Ants and such generally shouldn't be active this time of year. I guess while we're on the topic, It's important to be aware of what's going on in your house. If you're seeing ants this time of year, every now and then we'll get a phone call. Somebody's seeing carpenter ants inside their house in November, December. That's a pretty clear indication that there's a colony in the house. So you'll find these random ants wandering about. But there really isn't a treatment that can be done for them during the wintertime. The way that we manage carpenter ants involves picking off the workers as they come to and from the house in order to feed. So while we may be able to diagnose and identify an infestation during the winter, sometimes we have to suffer with it until spring in order to start having an impact on the, to actually perform a treatment on behalf of them. So the good news is that during the wintertime, they're in kind of a half asleep state of torpor, and they're just moving around, usually because they've gotten hot, and they might be near a heat duct or just an area of the house that is warm enough, and they'll forage inside typically to find water. They're usually not eating, and the good news is that they're not actually expanding the nest during the wintertime, even though you may be seeing ants. So it's kind of a good news, bad news thing in terms of detecting them and treating them. We can't really do an effective treatment until spring.
You can call us at 360-533-5259. You can email or text message johnny@jodesha.com. Take it away, Ed.
Okay. Well, I wanted to finish up with the ants. The carpenter ants are not the only thing that we get in the wintertime. Occasionally, we will get odorous house ants. And usually that is it's a heat and moisture issue there. So when you start finding odorous house ants in the dead of winter, it's usually because there's enough moisture for them to still be active. Most colonies of moisture ants go to sleep for the wintertime, and they don't really start invading our homes until spring. Spring is when they start setting up new nest sites, and the way that they go about doing that is to send out some scouts that will, they kind of survey a new nest site, and then they'll move a large part of the colony en masse. You can have 10,000 insects, and they may go off in three different directions. I actually have an interesting photograph that it's a bunch of odorous house ants that literally packed eggs in and set them on top of a transformer behind a television set. So, this pile of eggs that are just sitting right there on top of the transformer because it was warm and it was humid. So, odorous house ants in the wintertime, the key with those is don't spray them with over-the-counter products. That's an ant that you absolutely want to use bait on. Liquid baits are preferable because they don't have to carry water to it to dissolve it and then carry it back off. Baits are going to tend to be non-repellent, so they're not going to, make that colony fragment, and kind of scatter them around in different parts of the house, because once they part company with the parent colony, then they stop sharing food resources, or they may actually compete with each other for the food resource, but it's much more difficult because you can't necessarily get the less dominant colony to take enough bait to kill off the queen. So bait is the key. Don't spray them.
All right. Bait them. Don't spray them.
Yep. Or call us and we'll bait them for you.
Right. Hey, speaking of, any new stuff coming out that only, people like you have access to?
There's always rebranding and repackaging, but I don't think, aside from the fungus product that we're using for bed bugs, they're working to expand the labeling on that to encompass cockroaches. The nice thing is that insects have water in them, and this fungus, which is native in the soil, just it eats them. And so that's probably the most innovative product in the marketplace. There's some strange things out there. A lot of companies are trying to market IoT products like mouse traps that will give you a phone call to let you know that one of your mouse traps has gone off. I think it's more important to have somebody, be hands on and actually take a look at the trap and make sure that it's properly set and that it's, that it hasn't misfired. Because making it more complex doesn't necessarily make it more effective.
All right.
So not a lot of new stuff in the marketplace, but a lot of stuff is being rebranded.
You ever hear those, old remedies like mix some vinegar with some sugar and a teaspoon of gasoline, and that'll get rid of your problem? You hear any about those?
Home cures have limited value. I've heard things like human hair and things like that from mold repellents, spearmint gum, as a mold repellent and things for as a deer repellent. But the professional products are usually researched. Home remedies, some of them are actually based on their ability to kill insects, but sometimes they're just not as effective or as safe as they should be. Products like horticultural vinegar, it's essentially concentrated apple cider, but that's the only product I've ever had in inventory that had a danger label on it, because it could burn right through your clothing. I guess the topic was home remedies, but, the majority of home remedies, tend not to work. Of course, the best home remedy is good sanitation and good maintenance. Those are things that homeowners can do that election have a direct impact on pests, prevent them from getting access, those sort of things. The pesticides in our own business, the pesticides are at the bottom of the list of things we do. Inspection always comes first, and taking care of the source of the problem is far more effective than attempting to treat with things like mint oil or some of these other things.
Do you at Beacon do inspections and treatment for like apartments and condos and things?
Oh yeah. Multi-unit buildings quite often are the only place that we find. Well, for the most part, they're where we find our cockroach infestations because people are transient, and as a result, they can bring these problems with them from areas that have infestations. And I think I've mentioned this before. You cannot move away from a cockroach problem. You will take it with you. Unless you leave everything you own. It's quite easy to transport a cockroach with you from one apartment to the next. And because they can drop their egg cases and hide them in things like appliances and we don't like to think about it, but they really like to get into coffee makers and things that have heat sources in them. So we find them in televisions and around transformers and things like that when they're being transported from one place to another. So
people have cockroaches in their coffee makers, like in the open parts of it that's not.
When you take a look at your coffee maker, there's a grill there that allows heat to escape. Otherwise it'll overheat. You've got a heating element there for the pot. And then you've got the water reservoir there. And so, when you fire up the coffee pot, there's heat and moisture and shelter and it's close to the food because it's sitting on the countertop where you cook at. They love, in the old days we didn't have Keurigs, but yeah, they love the Keurigs and the Mr. Coffees and just because it's all the resources that a roach can ask for.
How about grocery stores? You do grocery stores and stuff?
We do. It's more of a limited fashion.
Yeah.
Cause there are some kinds of, services that require equipment that we don't have.
Mm.
The typical gas station grocery store or we do larger stores also, but we have to be aware of what our limitations are. And so, there are companies like, Sprague out of Tacoma, they specialize in things like that. So, while we can do a lot of that kind of work, sometimes it's the better part of valor to recognize when you're, outside your field of expertise.
Right. Know your limits, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we do a lot of really good work, but there are limits and while we may be able to get the qualifications necessary, it's not our field of expertise because it's like container fumigations. We don't do fumigating, but there are companies that do nothing else. So there are specialty areas. It's kind of like going to your family doctor. There's the generalist and then there's the specialists.
All right. Well, we got a few more minutes left. If you have a question, a pest question for Ed, you can call us at 360-533-5259, text message or email, johnny@jodesha.com. Did we cover everything yet?
Well, let's see. I'm pretty sure we've gone through most of what I had set up for this morning, but we were talking about, grocery stores and such. We do help grocery stores track down infestations and such because if you've got a rodent problem, the building is a building is a building. You have to track down how these animals are getting in, and then have a management program for it. This time of year, a lot of homeowners are going to discover the things that have expired in the cupboard. Yeah, there's some very seasonal stuff that a lot of us keep around, and sometimes we don't have the heart to get rid of it when the holiday is over. And so the next time we see it, it's a year older. And you know, things like spices and you know, seasonings and things of that nature will end up with insects growing in them. Sometimes the insects are picked up in transport, but sometimes they are just a natural part of the product. If it's not if it's not heat treated or otherwise processed, then you can get these things hatching out after a year if they're not properly stored. And even if they are properly stored, you can get them hatching out this time of year.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to, you know, answer any of my questions and Mom's questions, because we still have to deal with those birds high up that are, like, way up there in the nests up on our house.
Yeah, it's getting in the soffit.